This is 161st Street, Yankee Stadium.
All right. Welcome back. Episode number 132, Four Train Savages Podcast. Rob, we are less than a month and a half away, just about. I think we're like, 43 days from opening day now. Pitchers and catchers are meeting, or have met, actually. The Yankees already have injury concerns. What else is new? Today is February 16th. Rob, how are we doing?
Baseball is fully underway. Pitchers and catchers, happy Pitchers and Catchers Day. Ready to go, man. Ready to get spring training fully underway, watch some games. Football is now officially behind us, so now it's on the base. Well, I watch a little college basketball with some big UConn fan, UConn alum, so I'm going to be watching that this month. So that'll hold me over until baseball gets going. But it's once the Super Bowl is over, it's like, all right, baseball mode.
Yeah. So. Is it fair to say this is the worst month and a half of the year in terms of sports stretch?
Yeah, probably February, because once it's
basically just the NBA and college basketball.
Yeah, because once college basketball ramps up when we get the conference tournaments and stuff, and then once March Madness hits, that's when you kind of get even more ready for like baseball, because you know baseball's right there. So yeah, this is like a little bit of a lull point, you know. I mean, I guess
especially the next like 2 weeks.
Yeah, you got the NBA All-Star stuff, but I don't really watch that anymore. Because who watches the dunk contest and just
yeah.
So yeah, no
dunk contest took a nosedive, dude.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the difference between that and the home run derby. Like the home run derby to me is always entertaining. Like last year's was always good. But yeah, the dunk contest. So we're clamoring for baseball, man. We're clamoring for.
Oh yeah, I feel like this offseason's kind of flown by a little bit. I think since there was an actual free agency this offseason, not like with the CBA and all that, it didn't feel like, I don't know, to me it didn't feel super long, because I'm looking at the date, Rob, and I'm like, damn, I'm watching the Yankees play, you know, a legitimate scrimmage in 2 weeks. And then they'll play five of them. I'll watch the first five, and then I'll be like, all right, enough of this. I don't care about watching half these idiots play anymore. I want it to be April 1st. So that's kind of my mindset right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'll throw it on in the background, but you'll watch. It is, though, I will say this, that in other years, especially because we have so many question marks and a lot of these young guys are going to factor in.
We got two positions they could fill.
So I would say in past years, I would definitely say, yeah, be like watch the first five, six games, then I'm kind of done. But this could be... less so with Volpe because of the eligibility stuff and what they may do there with his – what's the date again that I think? It's like
– I think it's like April 27th, so it doesn't – like it's not a big deal if they wait 4 weeks and call him up.
Yeah, so I think they're going to – that's what – we'll get into it. That's what I think they'll do. But you know that Volpe is going in very motivated because of the stuff that we've heard from Boone in the press conferences and Cashman as well, that they're going to,
because apparently Cash called him. Yeah, apparently Cash called him and was like, hey, dude, you know, you have the opportunity to win this job. Mm-hmm. Who knows how true that is, but just it should be a more fun spring training than usual.
Yeah,
we'll say that.
Yeah, with Peraza, and I just saw a video of Ben Rortvedt, so we're going to see him play a little bit. So, yeah, there is more reason this year than in past years to be watching spring training.
Exactly.
So,
should we get into some upsetting news that may not be too surprising, Rob?
Yeah.
Frankie Montas. That'll go down, I think, as literally one of Cashman's worst trades. But Frankie Montas, if you haven't heard, shoulder surgery, out for the year. Mind you, this is an exploratory shoulder surgery, so they don't even know what's wrong with him, dude.
They're
not going
good,
in there,
man,
just to fucking scope him. they don't even know what's wrong with him. So obviously acquired by the Oakland Athletics while he had a shoulder issue in Oakland. Came to New York, had that same shoulder issue, which is why he wasn't available in September in the playoffs. Shut down for most of the offseason. Starts to ramp back up. Shoulder stuff again. So now exploratory surgery. So that sucks, dude. Cashman obviously gave up J.P. Sears and Ken Waldichuk and Cooper Bowman.
Luis Medina, too.
And Luis, fuck, I forgot about that. Excuse my French today. Luis Medina as well. You could argue three of those dudes could be, all three of those guys could battle for the fifth spot this year. Mm-hmm. If they didn't, if he didn't train him away.
No, so, that's the thing.
That stinks, dude.
I think it's easy for us to obviously say now. It's saying, oh, why would you do that trade? Because
yeah, it made sense at the time.
It did at the time, and unfortunately we were picking from our fallback there because we did want Luis Castillo over Frankie mm-hmm. Montas. But, yeah, looking back on this, it does not play well to the resume for Cashman of his trades, and I would probably tend to agree with you. If Frankie Montas, which is very much in the cards, will not pitch another pitch for the Yankees,
yeah,
like that's probably, that could take the number one spot, and I wouldn't blame anyone to say that would be the number one spot if he doesn't pitch anymore, because the whole way that they don't know really what the issue is, and we saw how important it was with the Correa stuff, with checking in on injuries and checking doing double checks there. So this gives you an idea that, you know, adds more importance to looking over and seeing what issues he may have, because we know last year, I think he only, before the trade deadline, I think he only made five starts, and the other time that he was on the IL, and
It feels like a reach looking back on it from Cash.
Yeah.
But we were happy at the time because I think we forget, dude, he was supposed to be the number two behind Cole.
We can't lie. We needed we wanted a starter, and we were
We got the second best available.
Yeah, and honestly, in hindsight now, it's, you say, damn, we could really use one of these young guys, but it just, that's just
it
the way
is
that
what it is
what
suppose.
It is. But
I heard Boone was like, yeah, his surgery's scheduled for like the 21st or whatever, and then he'll be back with the team 3 days later. Woohoo, go back with the team, sit with the guys or whatever. But I'm just thinking, why? Why? Why is he going to be back with the team?
Well,
he's not going to pitch at all.
When we talked with Kay a few weeks ago, he had mentioned, he said, you know, he had alluded that I don't think it's, He alluded that he thinks he's going to end up having surgery. Like, this isn't something that's going away. And
shoulder's the road. There's a rotator cuff. Is there, right?
Yeah.
So is that the assumption?
I'm assuming that's what they're assuming, or somewhere. We're not doctors. We don't know that.
Yeah.
And it's, I'm not sure, but
makes you think, why didn't he have the surgery in September? I mean, they do all this thing with like, all right, his shoulder is hurting, whatever. Let's shut him down for this long. Eventually, it's got to come back, right, dude?
Yeah, no, you...
And now it's back, and then they're like, all right, and it's time for surgery now.
It gives you an extra... It gives you a... You're not thinking, oh, it's
just
hopeful.
A Band-Aid, it feels like.
Yeah, you're not thinking, oh, it's hopeful now till September, maybe playoffs, and it's like at that time he needs to ramp up even more. If you do the surgery right after the season ends last year, or right when he had the injury after the Milwaukee stuff, you're thinking the timeline is much, much faster. And we know what we're dealing with. But really, maybe they didn't do it. Maybe they didn't do the surgery because they really don't know what's going on. So maybe they're just in a tough spot, and they just, it's just the hand that they dealt themselves when they made this trade, and were trying to go back and get someone that wasn't Luis Castillo that would still give them a shot to win. And it's we're gonna look back on this, and I don't think it's gonna be very. Very good. It's not.
Yeah, no. And not at all.
Because I'm trying to think of, well, the easy one is to say, oh, Sonny Gray trade, but none of that really. I mean, what's his name? Kaprielczyk or what's the guy?
Oh, my God. This is going to piss me off if I don't remember it. It's not. I know who you're trying to say.
I can't pronounce his name. But that trade didn't have, like, those. He pitched well. The guy that we gave over to Oakland pitched well, but for a portion of time. But it wasn't blowing you out of the water that this guy is. So, but this one, I mean, Waldichuk is very good, and
JP Sears
pitched well. Remember when we went to Oakland and he pitched against us and he pitched well? I mean,
yeah.
So, yeah, I think this one will. Is worse than that. No, one for one thing, no more trades with the Oakland Athletics. Like, keep Brian Cashman's phone line cut off from anywhere in Oakland, because that is not
good. More Oakland.
That is not good.
I don't know, dude. I hope he, obviously, you know, heal up. Kind of sucks. We would have had a split baller pitcher throw back to like a little Tanaka, mini Tanaka in the five spot. But yeah, we're moving forward with either Herman or Clark Schmidt at the moment, dude. I saw San Diego picked up Michael Wacha. I think we both said it a couple months ago. I would have loved Wacha in the five spot, mm-hmm. or even just in the mix. But we'll see. We got to knock on wood that hopefully we stay healthy a little bit more. We have more injury concerns. I don't know if it's a concern, though, Rob. I don't think it is at the moment for me, but Nestor Cortes, mm-hmm. what is it, strained hamstring out of the WBC, hopes to be ready for opening day or his first start or whatever. I'm surprised he said he was hopeful. You know? Mm-hmm. Like, does that stress you out at all?
Oh, it does stress me out just in general, because you think that Nestor's going to be a huge piece of this rotation, mm-hmm. and we know that Severino, unfortunately, his history with injuries is not very kind. Rodon has stayed healthy for his past two seasons, but we know prior to that he's been somewhat injured. So, but we're hoping that
Sevy's definitely not pitching 200 innings.
Yeah, so that's why the Montas thing really sucks, because you say, all right, well, there could be a point where we're searching for a starter, while we do have dudes like Herman and Clark Schmidt and some, you know, Gil's not coming back for a while, but mm-hmm. they may have to make a move. But we're hoping that Nestor stays good, because at some point someone's going to go down. You're preparing for that. So that has me thinking, like, could they make a trade for an arm in these next couple weeks? It wouldn't surprise me, but it also wouldn't surprise me if they say we like our guys, we like what we have, and they'll roll with it. But the Nestor injury, as of right now, while it's not really dire, it's just something that flared up and started to bother him, that it could go, like, if people in the staff start dropping, that is a slippery slope.
It gets thinner real quick. I mean, you remember obviously the 2021 wild card against the Sox, where Garrett pitched and he was hurt a couple weeks before, and it was his hamstring. Mm-hmm. And then obviously he came back a little closer, and at least I always believed that Garrett was laboring and he was hurt in some way when he pitched in the playoffs, and which, you know, led to him having a really bad playoff start. But I think that's the thing with Nestor, is don't rush this dude back, because if you rush him back and he's not pitching great and then he re-aggravates it and he goes back in the IL, it'll be a terrible thing. So I'd almost be all right with him missing two starts and him not being good till the second or third week of April, and just to make sure it's like 100% good to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
don't rush him if it doesn't have to be, because I wouldn't be mad at them if they're overly cautious and he doesn't pitch till late April, early May. Like, if that's what has to happen, that's what has to happen to keep him healthy, and that gives him a little extra time. Also, the guy's name was James Caprillion, so I feel very stupid for not remembering how to pronounce his last name. I remembered it started with a K, but that's who the guy we're going for.
When you said that, I typed in worst Brian Cashman trades, and one of the first ones that popped up surprisingly to me was the Lance Berkman trade.
Yeah,
I forgot he was a Yankee, dude.
Yeah, one day in the offseason next year, we'll have to like do some stuff like that, because I mean, hopefully we don't have to continue to do that, because
this one is exactly
just, this one's not good. All right, yeah, so Nestor's pulled from the WBC. We also have a few Yankees that are participating in the WBC. We got mm-hmm. Higgy will be catching, Jonathan Loaisiga will be pitching for his squad. Which one? I forget which one.
Loaisiga's the DR, I think, right?
I think it is. No, actually, I think it's not. That was Sevy.
Or is he?
Glaber is. I think Glaber is for Venezuela. I could be wrong.
Maybe it is Venezuela.
Glaber's suiting up for Venezuela. Jonathan Loaisiga is pitching for, I think, the Dominican.
Nicaraguan or Nicaragua?
Yes, you're right. Nicaragua. So, yeah, we botched that. Sorry about that. But nonetheless, these guys will be playing in the WBC. So, I don't know. I never really had an issue with guys playing in the WBC because I don't think baseball lends itself quite like football or basketball at this.
It's a regional sport, yeah.
Whereas, like, if a dude's playing in the Olympics that's on an NBA team, I feel like the more physical contact and he's, like, running and he's doing all this in a, at a very high level, I don't think it's the same. Me, personally, I don't think it's the same as, like, baseball. Because I think, like, they're still going to be doing inter-squad games. They're still going to be taking at-bats. Like, you can't half-ass an at-bat even in practice. So they're going to be they're going to be doing the same thing at the WBC. So, like, when Nestor was pitching for the USA and these guys are and Glaber's playing for his country and Jonathan Loaisiga and Higgy's playing for USA. Like, it doesn't, at least me personally, I'm not completely like, oh, he shouldn't be playing, he shouldn't be doing that, because once again, you can't really half-ass baseball. Like, you can't half-ass throwing a pitch, you can't half-ass hitting a ball. So they'd be doing the same thing in practice would be my argument, but at the same time, I can understand. It's like, all right, let's have it more controlled with the Yankees and doing that stuff. So
it's just all about keeping them safe. I think the one thing that does bother me is, and maybe it's not fair for me to think this way, but when pitchers participate, that kind of bothers me a little bit, because it's just, it's so much easier for a pitcher to freaking do anything to themselves, I feel like. Mm-hmm. Like, you heard that Seve wanted to pitch in the WBC, and Boone straight up told him, like, no.
Yeah, Seve would be the last one on the
exactly. On the like, Yankees you roster. You do not, yeah. Unfortunately, you do not deserve to pitch it. Not saying you wouldn't perform well, but come on, give us 160 innings first, and then pitch in the WBC.
Yeah. So, yep, those guys are participating in the WBC. Also, Jason Dominguez, the Martian, joined the Yankees at spring training. So we'll be able to see more of him this February and March. So that, dude, that's exciting.
Bro, I hope they just give us, like, a lot of Jason Volperaza at the top of the lineup and are just like, hey, get as many at-bats as you can.
But, like, dude, we've been hearing about him for a very long time and these other kids. So that's why this spring training, more than most, will be a very important watch for Yankee fans, because, dude, we've been looking at the social media clips of these guys hitting rockets and everything. So, and they're on.
It'll be cool.
Jason is more than likely on track for next year. I know I've seen people saying, the need for left field. It's like, hey, man, if he performs well in spring, it's like, nah, it's not how it's going to go. But,
nah, no way.
I mean, I wouldn't be against
it.
He's got
to get a year in AAA first.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude.
But, I mean, listen. With what we're dealing with right now, I'm not against it, but obviously you got to be realistic with it.
I mean, bro, Dominguez ended the year in double A. So Azar, he probably will start in double A, unfortunately. So I'm trying to think. Yeah, I don't see a way of him getting up this year unless he goes berserk in double A for like 2 months and then just goes berserk in triple A and gets promoted.
Yeah, that would be.
I think Volpe and Peraza are more likely.
Yeah, that would be the dream. We're definitely seeing Peraza and Volpe this year, which is good. Which is good. Chad Green signs a 2-year deal with the Toronto Blue Jays, so we'll still.
It kind of feels weird, dude.
It does feel weird, but we'll still be seeing him this year, and we'll be seeing.
Wait,
him
so
in the division.
Is Chad out for some of this year? Because he had TJ, right?
Yeah, actually, he probably will be out for a portion of time.
So, when did we lose him last year? What month was that?
I want to say
pretty early, I think, dude. At least, like, maybe May?
Yeah, I want to say May or, like, maybe early June. So, yeah, you're right.
And what's TJ, an 18-month recovery?
Yeah, so he may take quite a while for us to see him. Yeah. But I don't have the schedule in front of us, but if we're playing him late in maybe we will. We'll probably be playing those division games late in at least August or September. So there is a chance that
I would love to face Chad.
Division,
I feel like they'll bang on
a
him.
Division race. Yeah, if a division race is on the line, it's like, oh man, Chad Green's. We're going up against Chad, so that'd be funny. Another note from spring training. So Marley Rivera spoke with Glaber, and Glaber had his arbitration stuff the other day. I'm trying to find the quote from Marley. I just tweeted it the other day, or quote tweeted it the other day. Bear with me, bear with me, bear with me, bear with me.
For what?
I
missed it.
So
the Glaber?
Yeah. So Marley Rivera spoke with Glaber about how his arbitration kind of went and what the process was like when he was, you know, they were going through how much he will be paid. And she asked him and followed up of any talk, were there any talks about a contract extension possibly happening? And Glaber said, I wish. And that had Yankees Twitter that are big fans of Glaber saying that the Yankees should think about extending him. But it's just,
well, if he comes out and bangs this year, dude, say he finishes with an 880 OPS, I'll be like, sure, offer him 3 years.
But I would say to that, though, it's like, yeah, if he goes out and proves it and has like a judge thing and then the Yankees, he'll force the Yankees hand. I'll say, good on you, dude. But, you know, they have three, excluding Anthony Rizzo, they have three infielders that we really don't know where they're going to be playing. If Josh Donaldson is going to be on the roster, where DJ's playing, and IKF, will he even be on the team? Will he be moved? And then you have two other studs that are in the pipeline that are really going to put the pressure on him. So you got to feel a little bad for Glaber, and he admitted that he does kind of look at social media and he looks and sees what's happening. And once people attribute what his bad month was in August to the talks about him at the trade deadline. So it sounds like he's trying to put it completely in the rearview, like all the talks in the rearview mirror, and just go out and play baseball, which is, and credit to him, if he goes
good
out and
him,
he plays.
Yeah.
I don't think, like, I told you, there's like a slight part of me, and I will say, like, I would say that I said this, that, like, maybe they would make a trade because of the Frankie Montas thing prior to the season, but in all likelihood, he wouldn't be moved until the trade deadline or just after the season, after he plays it out. That's the more likely thing that happens.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think it's out of the complete realm of possibilities that now with the Montas thing that they would, you know, see what the waters are like with Glaber, but he's probably going to start the season like that. And, you know, it was kind of, you know, it was like, damn, Glaber really wants to stay here. And he's saying, I wish that they would, you know, have contract extensions. But, you know, that's just the way the Yankees are operating. And if they operated like that with Aaron Judge, they're going to do the same thing with Glaber. So,
I mean, we have been saying it for some time. We're like, at some point they have to move someone. We just have a plethora of infielders. But maybe, dude, maybe, I mean, last year, day one of spring training, we went into it with Gary Sanchez as our catcher and Gio Urshela as our third baseman.
That's why
is that possibility.
Yeah, that's why I think, like, there's a slight chance, but what I think is I think that they would see how he plays and then go from
it's there. Only because you just don't know what's good with DJ either, dude. Like, how much is the toe actually going to hold up? Where the heck, like, what's up with Donaldson? I think it all, like, if Volpe and Peraza come into camp and are crushing it and Glaber kind of looks like, eh, I mean, who knows? Maybe then they'll be like, or even another arm goes down. Like, even if Clark Schmidt goes down or something like that, you're going to be like, holy shit, like, we need an arm. Let's move Glaber, because I think he only has another year arb, maybe.
Yeah.
And then he's free agent, but.
Dude, the Yankees are the best reality television that you could get right now. They just are.
They've been that for a little bit.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's what happened with Glaber. I'm just looking through our notes here. Let's get on to some other stories that were circulating, and then we also have some fun questions because some stuff from Twitter that we always see going around.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to ask, what do you have on the temperature of the AL East? Like, what are you thinking? Is the Yankees division to lose? Is it who are the biggest competitors?
I do think it's the Yankees division to lose. I still think they have the best rotation in baseball. Even if you want to say, hey, the Mets have a better 1-2, or, you know, Miami is a better 1-2, or the Dodgers, or whatever it is, or Atlanta. I think the Yankees have the best and the deepest rotation in baseball. I think they have the best bullpen, at minimum, the American League. Maybe not, maybe with Houston, but they're right up there. I think their pitching is extremely deep. I think Boston got worse this year. or this offseason, I think Baltimore basically did nothing. So they've shown that they don't really care to spend. I guess never doubt Tampa, as always. But I'm still not sold on Toronto. I said it last year. I go, these Canadian team, this Canadian team right here is a group of frauds. They're not good. And I'm still calling them frauds. I don't think Toronto's going to do much. I think they'll be a wild card team and fighting with Tampa Bay, same thing. But I see a lot of the projections have Yankees at like 97, 99 wins. I think they're a pretty similar team to last year with better pitching.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. I think, you know, I think the IKF hole will close up at some point, and I think the Hicks hole in left field will close up at some point. I don't think they'll be starters all year. And just because of that, even if you get a, you know, a little bit better outside of those two, I think you're still somewhere in the 95 plus win range. So I do. I think it's a Yanks division to lose, dude.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I definitely agree. Always, we always come in every season, and like the main goal that I believe that they go with, and that like I think fans kind of think is just, hey, go out, win the division, and then go from there, and then that's when that's when October baseball starts. I would say we should keep in mind, I think the Yankees are, I agree with you, I think a 96, 97 win team, but they did get off to quite a historic start last year.
And you just can't have an August again, dude.
Yeah, and Toronto fell flat on their face. So
yeah.
We want, in an ideal world, we want months that, you know, are steady, that don't take, you know, deep dives.
Just don't have a nosedive of a month again. Like, August cannot happen.
Don't have nosedives. And I agree with you that saying Toronto's doing all this talking throughout the offseason, talking about how the Yankees are the easiest opponent and talking about how they love to play the Yankees. And it's very odd when you have a losing record last year, and it's very odd when Aaron Judge is tying records in your building for most home runs from the American League, and he's also winning the division in your building. So it's very odd to me how much they are trying, like, just talking about the Yankees. It's very odd to me. But I will say that they're probably the toughest competition up against 100%. The Yankees in the division. And just they didn't put it together at the start of the year, and then they did. And when they closed ground in August, because the Yankees did take that nosedive, and they got within, like, them and Tampa got within 6 or 7 games. So you just can't do that.
We were in 3 at one point, I think.
Yeah, so I think, but I will say this, I don't think it's going to be that similar amount of separation. I think we're going to be far closer this year because I don't.
Yeah, because we were at a place last year where we were up by 12, 13 games at one point. Yeah. I could see like a 5-game, 6-game lead or deficit either way. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we're chasing the Jays or we're neck and neck with the Jays for a while. But, dude, I forgot the Jays did sign Chris Bassett. They did sign Yusei Kikuchi. And the biggest thing, this is why I still, because they're pitching, for some reason, Toronto pitching does not sell me. They acquire all these really good pitchers, and for some reason, besides Manoah, who is a dog, they don't pitch up to whatever they were prior in Toronto, it seems like, at least to me. Like Kevin Gausman, for example, Barrios won a Cy Young and then didn't do much after, or came in second in the Cy Young, something like that. But they also, dude, they traded Teoscar Hernandez.
Yeah, that was big news.
Who was by far their second best hitter on the team behind Vladdy, like the last 3 years too, including Bo Bichette. So I don't know. They traded Teoscar. They got Varsho, the outfielder from the Diamondbacks, who's a lefty, but he's no Teoscar Hernandez. I mean, you're talking kind of Harrison Bader stats, I think, with Varsho, and that's not a knock on Bader, but I just said for a while, I was like, dude, Teoscar is like so good. Like, he's a dog. So I'm happy to not see him in the lineup anymore. Their pitching got a little deeper, I suppose. But yeah, I'd say it's us in Toronto.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be a tighter race, but I think the Yankees will come out on top. I do think the Yankees will win the division. I do think they will.
Yeah.
I'm going to say right now, I mean, it's early, but I'm feeling 96 or 97. I'll say between 96, 98 wins, I think, because like this team, they got Rodon. That's what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, they're still going to be a very quality, good, regular season team, and then obviously once we get to October, that's another we got to talk about the conversation and how healthy they finish the season and everything else.
I think a big factor in this season really will be obviously health, as it always is in terms of everyone, but if Stan and DJ are on the field consistently and play 120 plus games, like, that's a pretty low bar. I'm telling you, you can miss 45 games or 42 games. If they play 120 games, dude, I feel like we're in a good spot.
Yep.
You know, because what did Stanton play last year? A little under, did he play 100?
I think he played around like between 100 and 110 or something around there.
Let me see. And then I don't remember what DJ played, but I think we all forget that DJ had a 400 on base percentage before he got hurt.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, 110. You're right on that, Rob. He was, for Giancarlo.
He was keeping it going. He was good. But man, I can't lie. I'm nervous about what's going on with that toe and them avoiding surgery, and if
100%,
it's very worrisome.
Because then if it pops back up, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
But they said, I think the thing with this surgery, why they want to avoid it, is apparently it's like, I guess with this surgery, at least this is what I remember hearing, is they don't know if it works. Like, they don't know if whatever they do will alleviate the pain once he's healed. Because it's like a nerve connected to a small broken bone in the toe. At least this is what I read in some way. So you just hope that the toe is rock solid.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Talking of our general manager and, you know, the Frankie Montas move, a few weeks ago, he appeared on a Chicago radio show and was asked about the expectations that come with playing in New York, and asked about his offseason moves and the moves that he made and the expectations that kind of go along with Yankee fans. And he had the internet streets churning again, like always when the Cashman haters are out and Cashman gets them riled up. And he said, with what happened in the ALCS, he said, we had another great run at it. And obviously that then turned Yankee fans to create headlines and everything.
I mean, he's just taking shots at the fans, right? Like, that's what it is.
I don't think it is. I just think Cashman, the one thing that I really like respect about Cashman, and he's quite honest, very honest, and he'll give you stuff. It takes him a while to get through and talk stuff, you know, when we watch press conferences, but he is quite honest with the fan base when it comes to certain things that we'll, you know, talk, you can, some instances, but you know, when it comes to the expectations and saying we had another great run at it, I mean, he's gonna say stuff and it's just gonna automatically trigger fans, and honestly, I understand them being triggered at some point, because he talks about the expectations that come with playing in New York, but then at the same time, fans are watching. Fans do have a super high expectation in New York, and is it sometimes unwarranted? Yes, you can make the argument that sometimes it's unwarranted. But what I will say is they see a guy who has been here for 25 years. I think it was just his anniversary of being the general manager a few weeks ago or in January, and they see that guy. And they think, and be it correct or not, they think that there is no real accountability. And they're just saying he is general manager for life, and they don't like that. And I could understand.
Which is fair.
That I can understand that they're saying, like, okay, so we're just supposed to sit here and just be like, okay, and you're just general manager for life. And we heard the quote from his press conference at the end of the season, saying how they evaluate what they did during the season isn't based on the results at the end. And that triggered me more than this one.
Yeah.
Like, anything that he says at this point, I'm just saying, okay, it's just what he's saying. But it gets the Twitter streets hot. It gets people riled up, but I can understand at some level why they are upset, because they think, you know, what's the accountability level? It's just, you're a general manager for 25 years. Is there any, what's going on here? So I can understand it. It didn't really peeve me that much, as I said, because it's just, I've heard it before. The one that really got me was at the end of the year, and I was just saying, okay.
The only thing that kind of bothers me is, like, listen, you got Aaron Judge, captain of the New York Yankees. He is always, he's been very consistent. With any playoff departure, he goes, It's a failure. We didn't win the World Series. That's our goal, is to win a championship, bring it back to New York. And then you got the general manager of the New York Yankees.
Good point.
Who says the complete opposite. So let's have some fluidity somewhere.
Some alignment.
Yeah, exactly. So, Cash, if you're going to say – you can say, like, hey, we had a decent year, but ultimately we failed at our end goal. But you don't have to be like, oh, yeah, it was a success because we were – you know, we won the division again, and Houston is still our father. That's not great. But, yeah, I think just get some – let's get some fluidity behind it, and let's all be on the same page, because if – again, if the captain of your franchise is saying it, I think the general manager should be –
as well,
backing him up, which I'm sure, you know, he obviously backs Judge up, but you get what I'm saying in terms of just being on the same page.
Totally agree. This was an interesting thing that came across my feed. Ken Rosenthal reported, I believe for The Athletic, that next offseason the Yankees will be one of the teams, along with a lot of others, that will be in the mix for Manny Machado should he opt out of his contract after this season with the Padres. It's funny how it comes back around, and we talk about how Manny, you know, visited with the Yankees, and they show that that picture of him up on the scoreboard in the Yankee Photoshop. So, listen, dude, after this year, Donaldson's off the books. Donaldson's off the books after this year. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I mean, if he opts out, I would very much. We also have to see where Volpe plays and Peraza plays and how that shakes out. But listen, if they got a need for a third baseman and they can make it work, I'm saying that may be the number one target for the Yankees coming out of this 2023 season if they can they can get Manny Machado, because you know, his time in the Padres, I think he was injured maybe one time, but I mean, he's still putting up very good numbers.
He is a lunatic, dude.
He's probably going to want a little bit more money, kind of restructure the contract, but like that four that they have in San Diego is stupid.
Oh, dude, when you look at their lineup, you're like,
he finished second in the MVP voting last year, by the way.
Yeah, and when you look at San Diego's lineup, you're like, how do you run through Tatis, Manny, Juan, and Xander? Like, that's insane. I don't think there's another 1-4 that's better. I mean, maybe you could argue the Dodgers with Freddie, Mookie. I'm trying to think. Trey Turner's not even on the team anymore. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, dude, Manny Machado, I mean, he's going to get a bag. Mm-hmm. 159 OPS plus last year. Yeah, maybe that's why they went out and signed Xander, because they just kind of for insurance of when or if Manny leaves, or maybe they think he will leave, because
they'll keep plopping. How old is Manny? They'll keep plopping Tatis at different positions. Be like, all right, Manny's gone. Let's see if you could play third.
Yeah. I hope they figure it out.
He's 29, dude. So like,
wow. So he, dude.
Pay him, man. Pay the man.
He very well might demand a 10-year contract.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Judge just got. Yeah. 9 years.
At 30, yeah. So
at 31,
That plays in his favor. I mean, he's putting up not quite like what Judge did in his 2022.
But
still, like,
same deal.
Say this year, I wouldn't be surprised if him and Judge are putting up similar numbers. I mean, 32 home runs, 102 RBIs, 298 average, 366 on base, 531 slugging, 898 OPS, like, 156 OPS plus, like that's a guy you would that's another guy that I would overpay for to have, you know, if I have to have back halves of his year, you know, that's for if Volpe or Peraza aren't playing third and we have an open spot, and that's what we can go about and get him. But I thought that was an interesting update.
Yeah, 100%. Yanks kind of have to you got to imagine they have to pay another position player relatively soon. I mean, you can't bank on both the kids panning out, so assume one of them won't. And just thinking logically, I mean, no knock on Stanton at all, but he is getting older. Yeah. He had the worst year of his career last year. Wasn't a terrible year, but he'll probably continue to regress a little bit, at least I would say.
I think this year he's going to – I think this year he'll bounce back, as long as he'll stay healthy. But, they got to start thinking for sure.
Because you didn't pay Judge, you know, a bazillion dollars to lose. So they solidified the pitching. Like, we went over this, dude. We got our three for the next 4 years minimum. So now let's go get a dog at third. Mm-hmm. When was the last time we had a third baseman?
A-Rod. Literally A-Rod.
That'd be awesome having Manny.
All right. To finish off these topics, and then we'll move on to some questions and some other stuff. Runner on second is now permanent for the foreseeable future. Oh, so about time. So.
Oh, I like it. I know you like it too. All right.
Yeah, I was gonna say, dude, for any of the listeners and people watching, I see what people comment and seeing when it was released and the conversations that are about the runner on second rule. And I'll be honest, I think a lot of the hatred and the outrage is really overblown. I really think it's overblown. So I looked at the Yankees had 16 walk-offs last year, as everyone, all the Yankee fans know. Seven of them came in the ninth inning, and nine of them came in the rest of the extra inning. So that was an interesting little tidbit that I saw. So I think it's more of just this outrage that fans have with it. It's a lot of diehard baseball fans, which I completely get, that don't really want to see the game changed, and that's understandable. But then
the game's changing this year, guys.
And the pitch clock
a lot, we got that, in a lot of ways.
The pitch clock is coming in.
No shift.
So a lot of changes, and then also too, I think the biggest factor of it is players, coaches, front office, all are in support of it. And to me,
players, I think the most too, which is like. I think that should end the argument.
Yeah, and two, I think, like, we watched every single Yankee game last year, almost every single mm-hmm. Yankee game. Like, dude,
I can't do five-hour games, bro.
That, and then also, too.
You know?
That, and also, too, like, there were times where they would have the runner on second, and they still couldn't get him in. Like, we talk, like, it's a lot of teams, like, runners in scoring position, people have an issue even just hitting the guy in from second. Like, it's not an automatic that it always happens. So, I understand the frustration that goes along with it, but I think that, you know, and as Yankee fans, like, we have a good bullpen. The thing that I would always say to you, and when we come on here and talk, it's like, okay, we have boppers. If we have to shut them down first and then go walk it off, we'll shut them down with the bullpen and then go hit the guy in, and it's a free runner to get in, and the game's over. Or it's the other way. It says, okay, we got our boppers. Let's hit them in. Let's get some runs on the board. There's a guy on second, and then the next thing is shut them down with the bullpen because we have a good bullpen. I know not every team has that luxury, but I think it's completely overblown. I really do. And
I do as
and
well.
People are going to disagree with it, and that's okay, but I'm a fan of it. I am a fan.
Listen, if we didn't progress sports, Rob, we would still be having when we watch basketball, we'd have someone at the top that goes in and retrieves the ball out of the basket to continue
playing
the game. No 3-point line, yeah. So this is what happens in sports. I think baseball is trying to still maintain a younger audience. I don't think baseball's dying by any means. But I think they've realized that there's a lot of nothing that goes on during the game. Mm-hmm. They've already improved that with the PitchCom last year. I think I read something where it was like, yeah, they've eliminated like 17 minutes of just nothing on the air. Of nothing.
Yeah.
Just from PitchCom. So I like the extra inning rule, and like what you said, dude, when you're watching 150 games a year, and obviously we all have lives outside of the Yankees, it may not seem like it during the season because it's like all I think about, but when there's a 3-hour game and then I just watched a 4-hour game the night before, my girlfriend's yelling at me because I've been in the front of the TV for 5 hours. Listen, I need the ghost runner because I can't if it's in extra innings. I have to see the end of the game.
Yeah.
I can't not see the end of the game.
Yeah.
But it can't be a 20-inning game. Like in the postseason, dude, Seattle and Houston went to 19 innings or whatever mm-hmm. without a score. I can't do that in the middle of June. I'm sorry.
No.
I love baseball, everyone.
I totally agree, man. I totally agree. all right, now let's get to the spicy part that may get some fans riled up. You tweeted this the other day or like a while ago, and it got people thinking. I was looking at the mentions and I was just like, oh my goodness.
I tweeted it?
Yeah, I think you tweeted it. You posed the question, is Gerrit Cole at this point underrated the way that he's talking about?
Yeah. It was because of that MLB top 10 pitching list that dropped.
I don't think it's crazy to say, man.
I think he is, 100%. He has 1 year where he has a 3 ERA, and everyone is just like, yes, dude, sucks.
Garrett Cole, he led the league in strikeouts, I believe, once again last year.
And innings pitched.
There should be, like, that's a huge deal in baseball. I think that's not talked about enough. A guy that goes out.
People don't
out,
throw 200 innings
a
anymore.
A guy that goes out every time that he's asked to each week to pitch every week and then of every month and to not miss starts, that's a huge deal. So, yes, is he giving up home runs at times and we're pulling our hair out at times? Yes, he is. But then you have to put it into perspective of, like, he's still a very good pitcher that leads, that, you know, shuts out dudes and is making his starts. And last year, I think he's still those two games against Cleveland, I think he should have put to bed the criticisms of him after the wild card game. And obviously, I mean, the game against Houston was just out of reach at that point. Like, the Yankees completely just... That's a whole other
season
bag.
Was over.
The season
there.
Was over. Yeah. You're playing game four after down 3-0. So I think he is underrated, man. And that's going to not – I don't think a lot of people are going to agree with us. Even Yankee fans. There are Yankee fans that just do not like him. And it
makes no sense, bro. It's like, stop being weird.
I don't know. I agree with you, man. I think it's just very odd. Like, I would talk about him last year, and I'd say, okay, I want to see what he does in the postseason, Tyler. Like, you remember it. But then I shut up. He did his job, and he did the thing and performed well. And I've been a fan of him, and he made me even more of a fan of him that I would defend him saying, you know, he's underrated. So,
yeah, exactly. He's also – I'm not trying to get into the whole leadership thing, but the dude clearly – is a leader in the clubhouse. And also, I think the underrated, overrated, and how he's judged against other pitchers, I do think some of it stems from his contract, Rob. Because
absolutely.
One, he obviously got paid. What did it end? I don't even remember. $324
million? Oh, no.
360?
I'm thinking Judge. I think he's...
$324 million, I think. Whatever. So, a lot of money, obviously. And he was coming off one of the best seasons we've seen a pitcher have in, like, modern day baseball in a long time with Houston. And when we signed him, I think collectively any Yankee fan with a, you know, that kind of understood anything was like, he'll probably never do this for the Yankees. And he'll probably never live up to his contract, because that's, he's not going to have a 2019 Houston year every year. I mean, that's a career year. But that's the market for pitchers, bro, and that's the biggest thing for me is judge what he's doing now. I feel like that we're playing a lot of comparison games to what he was in Houston, and then we're acting like he hasn't finished top five in the Cy Young voting every single year he's been on the Yankees. So I don't understand it, because literally top five every single year.
I would love it if he goes. It would be a huge.
I think
he
finished second twice.
Yeah, it would be a huge statement if he came out and. One, I think the only reason he lost to Robbie Ray in 2021 was he had a blow up start in Toronto where I think they matched up against each other. I think like it was very much neck and neck. You didn't really know, and then the writers obviously are probably going to side with a non Yankee at the end of the day. But I don't know, man. I don't think it's crazy at all to say he's underrated. Next one.
Yeah, he finished second in 2021.
Yeah. Next one, which was interesting, I posed this one the other day. Could Aaron Judge, or do you believe Aaron Judge will get 500 career home runs, or how many do you think he will end up finishing with? It's interesting. Like, I'm not really sure. I think for me, I would say between the 470, 510 range, I think he could hit 500 home runs. Because right now he's at 220.
220. I saw someone replied and, like, did the math. They were like, all right, if he hits 32 a year for, like, 8 years or whatever, then he gets there. So he's at 220 now. So let's say if he hits 30 for 8 years, which I think is good. 30 times 8. 240 plus 220. Yeah. I don't know, dude. It'll be tough.
Like, if he hits...
But it's going to be close, honestly.
Like, let's say he hits... And also, too, there's going to be some outliers where he'll hit you know, close, hopefully we're thinking he'll hit close to 50. Not sure if he's going to hit 60 again, but you know, there may be one where he hits
hitting 42, 45.
They're like next year you could hit 35 and then year after that he'll hit 55 and fluctuate.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I think it's going to be really close, but there.
So he has to average like 30, 35 times 8 plus 220. Well, he has to average 35 over the next 8 years. But he has done a 9-year contract.
Yeah.
So
he would if he averages 35 over the next 9 years, then he would surpass it. But also
He has 220 right now?
He has 220 right now.
So 220. So he needs 280. So whatever 280 divided by 9 is. He needs to average 31 a year for the next 9 years.
So
it could be done. I mean, he might just be that dude at the end of the year or the end of his career where he just hits 25 to 30.
Yeah. And that's what you're thinking. Because, again, it's probably going to fluctuate where he gets one where he'll hit 52 and then one he may hit like barely 40 or then he hits like 45. So, but it's interesting, man, because I think he can. Yeah. And he started his career later than some. So that
imagine he came out of college, dude.
Yeah,
he's talking 600.
Well, he had the 52 home run season in 2017, and then the injuries plagued him a little bit in the next years, where he had 27, 39 in 2021, and then 62, obviously last year. So like that's what I think is going to happen. He's going to have a monster year, and then an average year. So that's
fair.
But my prediction would be I think he will hit 500, like barely though. I think he's just gonna get it. I think he's just gonna get it. But
here's the thing: if he does, I think the Yankees will be ecstatic.
Way
the contract.
That's also out. That's a great barometer. Be like, hey man, if he hits 500 home runs, you'd probably say that.
Be like those 5 through 9 years weren't as bad as you thought.
Well deserved, well paid. But also, we saw him playing first base the other day, so they're already maybe preparing him for.
Sign me up.
Although
bro.
Boone
sign
said
me
it
up
was
for
nothing.
That.
Nothing to make about anything. So,
yeah.
But
We still only have one first baseman on the team.
Yeah. So
as long as everyone, it's Rizzo and DJ.
Yeah. So I really don't think it's that crazy, to do.
Say he plays right field for 4 years and then he's first base DH for 5. I'd like that.
All right.
Little Joe Mauer.
Yeah, little Joe Mauer. Let's the Hall of Fame recently happened. The Hall of Fame inductee Scott Rolen.
Yep.
Got into the Hall of Fame.
I hate the MLB Hall of Fame.
The MLB Hall of Fame really is just so.
They ruin it.
I mean, you just see better players.
Let's get some parameters going,
dude. You just see better players on the ballot, and nothing against Scott Rolen, because you just see guys like A-Rod, Sheffield, and everybody, and you're just saying, I don't know. Because at the end of the day, when they do this Hall of Fame stuff, like it just. It the thing that triggers me, I guess, the most is they were so willing in the early 2000s and when the steroids were really happening and all these players are hitting home runs and they celebrated it and they still have the records in there. They still talk about them, maybe not as much, but they're still recognized. And it honestly was the arguable peak of the modern era of baseball, maybe not past the NFL. Probably not past the NFL, but it was past the NBA at that point. And like people wanted to see these home runs and they wanted to tune in to see these guys hit monster shots. They wanted to see McGuire. They want to see guys like A-Rod, all these dudes hitting launching bombs. And MLB just capitalized and benefited from this. And then as people saw them, as reports and stuff came out of talking about steroids, then they just pose them as the villains. And then like I just think it's very just kind of scum behavior of they're saying, okay, we're gonna be okay with this and okay with that, but oh no, once it comes back on us, we're just gonna pose them out. And it's just like every time I see them on the ballot, it's just like, why do you guys even bother at this point? It's just stupid.
It seems like they just want to delete, like they want to act like they never existed, dude.
But they don't, because the records are still in there. And it's just like, ugh. It's like, if you're going to do it, if you're going to like not recognize them in the Hall of Fame, like you can't tell the history of the sport of one, like the most popular point in modern baseball history was that time. Like you can't tell the story of baseball without them.
It's like address it in some way. Like if you're gonna sit like right now they're just acting like they don't exist. If you want to do that, come out and be like, listen, we're not going to let these dudes in the Hall of Fame. Bring out a list of dudes. We're not going to acknowledge them. We're not going to celebrate them. If you want to be weird like that, do it. But I just feel like there's no parameters of anything. It's just everyone's like whatever your civil opinion is on the steroid use. That's how we're basing it off.
Yeah.
There should be some guideline somewhere, I think.
Yeah, it's just either go all in or not at all. Like it's very stupid to me. And it's going to be interesting too at the time where I don't want to be like age discriminatory, but you know, when older writers and people that were a part of that era, and maybe if they'll ever, I don't know if they're ever going to do, because they did the what was the thing where they did like a re-ballot stuff where that was how McGriff got in, and there were some steroid users on there. But like, it'll be interesting if there ever are like re-votes or how committees of when baseball fans say our age are in that have similar opinions do get into stuff like that. Like how is it gonna ever change, or is it gonna be very taboo?
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, dude. Since Barry Bonds didn't get in, which was obvious, I like the Hall of Fame means nothing to me anymore. Unless it's Jeter or Mo getting in, obviously, or like something like that. Like Barry Bonds, the best hitter of all time, probably. I mean, to those that argue Babe Ruth, listen, I have no fucking clue. Like I don't know how good Babe Ruth really was, I suppose, watching him. But you can't just not let the best hitter ever in the Hall of Fame and act like he doesn't exist. I don't know. It just it ruins it for me.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I totally agree. Totally agree.
Like, and then you let David Ortiz in. Like, just,
that's a whole other thing.
Make it make sense, dude. That's just if you make it make sense, then I'll hang out and enjoy it. But until then, no.
All right, last ones to finish off with. Dude, Yankees Twitter went through a frenzy after seeing Gary Sanchez on social media.
I thought he signed with someone before you sent me that.
No, he didn't sign. So he's working out in Yankees gear. And it then prompted people to start asking, oh, maybe we could fit him in as a backup catcher. And just back and forth. Like, that would send Yankee fans...
people would have a heart attack.
It would be... Yeah, literally... people would have heart attacks if they heard that, but I don't know. It was just funny just to see the back and forth. It really was. I mean, I am on the full side. Like, even if it was conceivable that they would do it, I would not be on the side of it, but but I thought
he can't perform in New York, dude.
That, and
like, we ran him out of New York.
I think the non-starter is when you looked at his numbers, which were not good last year.
No.
And you could like weasel your way into an argument saying like Higgy's OPS was roughly similar. I Gary had more RBIs than him, but I don't know. It's like when your backup catcher is doing that and like it's just I don't know. And you're saying the upside.
There's just no reason
but
for
also
it.
Too I take back what I said. The non-starter.
They've went the defense framing route. And yeah. That there's no reason to go back.
The non-starter
now.
Is the fact that the pitching staff wants, like, your best pitcher, even if it is stupid, he doesn't want to throw to him. Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
That
Garrett's going to throw to whoever he wants to throw
now,
to.
Now he's happy. Now he loves Trevino. Mm-hmm. He'll throw to Higgy. He'll throw. And you're right. They went the framing route. And it, I mean, just look at the pitching staff last year. So it worked out. But I thought Yankee fans were losing their minds online. They're like, oh, could this be a reunion? Like, okay, slow down.
It's just like, what? Yeah, and why would you be excited about that anyway? If anything, it just causes more drama and less playing time for Trevino.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And,
which I don't
and
want.
The video just came out of Rortvedt today, and he's back in the mix. So it just they have other guys that are defensive priority, which they now understand that they want to do, and that's what they're rolling with.
Who knows, man? Maybe Rortvedt ends up the backup catcher and Higgy ends up playing like an Eric Kratz role at the end of the year or something weird like that.
Yeah, I was surprised that they didn't kind of – well, yeah, I was thinking like maybe they'd move on from Higgy this year, but there's just the familiarity there. So I don't
know. It's just been there forever,
he's
dude.
He's been there so long. I think he's like 32.
Yeah, how long has he
he's
been
like
in
the system
for?
He's been there since he's a
baby. Did he get drafted by the Yankees?
I think so, yeah. He's been a baby.
Higashioka stats. Let's see. Let's see. Oh, he came up with 2017 was his rookie year.
Yeah, so he's 32, but
he must have gotten drafted though.
But I think I remember seeing the video on YesNet.
Oh yeah, he's been in the system since 2008.
I remember seeing him on some videos Yankees. With like Cervelli and stuff in spring training. So blast from the past. So he's been there for a minute.
Literally 2008. Yeah. That's crazy.
All right, last story I wanted to mention. I thought this was really cool. I was watching the MSG game last night, or watching the Knicks game last night, and their Josh Hart, who was
the MSG game.
The damn MSG game. But I was watching the Knicks, and Josh Hart, who is now the newest Yankee, or not newest Yankee, Josh Hart, who is the newest New York Knick, was talking about his rebounding ability because he's like a crazy guard. I remember before he got traded, he was on the Portland Trailblazers, and he got us for 19 rebounds. PSA that me and Tyler are both Knicks fans, but you know, we're not. I don't know what they're going to do this year, but they're in the playoffs. But I thought it was really interesting how his great uncle is Elson Howard, obviously the New York Yankee legend catcher, and Josh Hart attributes a lot of his abilities when rebounding to when he grew up playing baseball and reading fly balls. So I thought that was a really cool story that I would want to share. So I shared that on our social. So I don't know, maybe the Yankees will invite him out for a game this year or something. So now that he's
that'd be pretty dope. I hope they start doing more stuff like that.
They're doing a lot. Like they've been doing a lot of collaborating stuff. Like whenever there's celebrities, like some Yankees, like, geez, it seems like Bader and Nestor live at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I love that they just, like, Nestor loves the city, you can tell. Like, he loves bopping around Manhattan. And same with Rizzo, too, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. They love it. Yeah, Judge was at an MSG game for both, Knicks and Rangers, so.
I hope, the Yankees, why don't we do, like, a fan fest?
So, like fans so on they the field and shit. So they didn't they don't do one directly with the Yankees, but I know my brother went to this one that got the Savages picture from that. It's in my background if you're on the video. But the they did like a huge signing with some mall in New Jersey that has like there's like a big like thing. So like that's like the closest thing. But I know the Cubs did one because I saw Tyone. The Cubs organization themselves. Like,
I think San Diego just did one too.
Yeah, so I think yes, they did do one. That's where I saw a video of a guy with a Tatis tattoo on his leg get Tatis to sign it. Yeah. So yeah, I think maybe coming soon the Yankees will do that, and we'll definitely have to attend once they do that.
Oh yeah, no, that would be great.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, because I got a coworker that he goes to all those like pay to go get a picture signed or whatever and take a photo. Yep. So he'll always send me. Who did he just go and see? Let me see.
So my brother got Bernie because he went as well. He went to the thing in Jersey.
Did he?
Yeah, so he got Bernie. He got a picture as well as a
it was Waldo was there.
That's awesome. Yes, he was there. Waldo was there. Yeah. I think Nestor was there as well. Boone was there, I think. So it's dope, man. Yeah, Yankees got to do a fan fest. I think that'd be awesome.
Hideki Matsui won, too. Yeah. That's my boy. Yeah, Yankees, get a fan fest going. Come on.
That'd be awesome. All right.
We'll help push it.
That is it for episode 132. Pitchers and Catchers is now underway, so we'll be having more frequent podcasts over the next month and weeks leading up to opening day, so it'll be exciting. As always, be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel, to the podcasts on Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify. I think if you're listening on Google Podcasts, we're also on there. Follow us at Four Savages on Twitter, at Four Train Savages on Instagram as well as TikTok. Appreciate you guys for listening. We will catch you next time.